الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers, for attending tonight's session, although it's such short notice, but thanks for coming. I'm sure our brother Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jubari needs no real introduction. We're quite familiar with him. We've seen him in the past Leicester conferences that we have had, inshallah. But just to introduce him, he is studied and notable, or sat with some of the notable and prominent scholars of today. For example, the likes of Sheikh Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, and others like Muhammad Atiyah, Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi. And Salim Al-Hilali, Hafizahullah. And as well as that, he's also the Amir of the Quran and Sunnah Society of North America, who we know are a very active and prominent society in America, spreading the Dawah as understood by the Messenger and his companions. We'd like to give a special thank you to him for coming all this way and attending of his own accord to benefit us with some of his knowledge, which I'm sure we'll appreciate. The format for tonight, inshallah, he's going to speak for about 45 minutes concerning the Salafi Dawah, fundamentals, obstacles and solutions, inshallah. And after that we will break for Maghrib, and following the prayer, inshallah, we will entertain some of the questions. The sisters may write them on a piece of paper and have them passed down. Inshallah, I'll hand it over to the Sheikh now.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، Salafi Da'wah is the Da'wah of Islam, is the Da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his Sahaba after him and their true followers through the ages till our time. The Salafi Da'wah is nothing but Islam itself. And inshallah, I'll be explaining why we have to call it the Salafi Da'wah then. So the talk will comprise of three main things. First, I will introduce the Salafi Da'wah. What is its meaning? Why do we call it like this? And then I will highlight some of the main problems that the Da'wah faces. And then I will propose some solutions to alleviate these problems from the Muslims. The Salafi Da'wah, in brief, as you have probably seen it explained, is to follow Allah's book and His Messenger's Sunnah and the guidance of the Salaf radiallahu anhu, or as understood the book and the Sunnah as understood and practiced by the Salaf radiallahu anhu. That is how it is usually summarized. And this is what Islam is about. Because in Islam we are required to follow the Quran. Anybody who does not follow the Quran is not a Muslim, of course. Every Muslim has to abide by the Book of Allah. And every Muslim has to abide by the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaam wa rahmatullah. Because Allah commanded us in numerous places of the Quran to follow his Messenger. And he said, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. And he told us that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just tells us what Allah commanded him to tell. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak out of his desire, it is only a revelation revealed to him. He subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us from disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and turning away from him. As he said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with the Messenger after the guidance was clarified to him and follows a way other than the way of the believers, then for him we give him what he deserves or what he chose. And we will let him into the hellfire, and this is indeed the worst of abodes. So there is no doubt, and there is no Muslim who can deny the obligation to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who claims that is either extremely ignorant and needs to be enlightened and taught so that he would know the truth, or he is a disbeliever. There is no other alternative. He's not a Muslim. A Muslim will not reject any of the Sunnah, of authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore Islam is to abide by the Book of Allah, by the revelation from Allah, and by the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is also a revelation from Allah, as you heard. So we are required in Islam to abide by what Allah required from us, to follow his commands, his instructions, which are included in his book and in the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In addition to that, we need to abide by the guidance of the Sahaba. Why do we make this a requirement? Because also Allah made it a requirement. Allah made it a requirement, as you heard in the ayah that I just recited, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ وَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. Anybody who contends with the Messenger and follows a way other than the way of the believers, then he deserves the punishment of the hellfire that you heard. No. So anyone who follows a way other than the way of the believers is threatened by the fire. And the way of the believers is what? The way of the believers is the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Why we say that? Because that is, those were the believers at the time of the Messenger, at the time of the revelation of this ayah. Those were the believers and none else. And anybody who rejects this or contends or challenges this, then he is again either a completely ignorant person, or as he is a Rafidi, a Shia, or a non-Muslim. So nobody may reject the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whether it is in the practices or in the beliefs. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Which means, if they believe as you believe, Allah is addressing the believers. Again, the revelation was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. If they believe as you believe, then they are guided. And if they turn away, then they are indeed in a division, in a misguidance, in a wrong way, in deviation. And Allah will protect you from them. So one has to believe the way that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum collectively believed. He has to follow a way similar to the way of the believers. When we use the term Salaf now, we mean the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and anybody who follows their way in a proper manner. In a proper manner. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Which means the first forerunners of among al-muhajirin, the migrators, and al-ansar, the supporters, and وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, those who followed them in a perfect way, in a good way. Those, Allah is pleased with them and they are with Him. So this is the group that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are pleased with His rewards, they are accepting or receptive of His commands and willing to submit to it. That is their, that means they are radu'an. In this life, and they are pleased with His rewards in the next life. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. So these are what we call the Salaf. This is what we call the Salaf. So they are السابقون الأولون, who are the مهاجرين أنصار الصحابة, and then anyone who follows their guidance. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us to follow their guidance in several of his ahadith, at least. For example, he said, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. Follow my sunnah and the sunnah, which means my way, and the way of the rightly guided successors after me. And the rightly guided successors are the four khulafa and the whole society of the Sahaba who was with them. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, النجوم أمانة السماء فإذا ذهبت النجوم أتى السماء ما توعد. Which means the stars are the safeguards or the protection for the skies or for the universe. Once the stars go, then what is promised for the skies will come to it. وأنا أمانة لأمتي فإذا ذهبت أنا أتى أمتي ما توعد. And I am the safeguard or the protection for my ummah. Once I go, what is promised for my ummah of turmoil and fitna and so on will come to it. وأصحابي أمانة لأمتي فإذا ذهب أصحابي أتى أمتي ما توعد. My Sahaba are the protection for my ummah. When they go, then what has been promised for my ummah will get to it. And so on. So the Prophet ﷺ praised the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in many ahadith. And therefore, their way is a way that is, and he ordered us to follow their way. As you heard from the Quran, from the Sunnah, so we have no choice but to follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger ﷺ and the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and to be among their followers with ihsan, in a good way. And this is Islam. This is Islam, and there is no other Islam. Anyone who follows a way other than this way, then even if he calls himself a Muslim, or people call him a Muslim, his Islam is not complete. Unless he submits to this.
So this is basically what is the Salafi Dawah. This is, as I said earlier, it is nothing but Islam. Islam is nothing but the Salafi Dawah, and the Salafi Dawah is nothing but Islam. They are equal, and that is what we call to, that a person has to abide by. Why do we have to call it the Salafi Dawah? Because when we say the Salafi Dawah, we mean the Dawah of the Salaf. And the Salaf means the earlier ones, those who preceded, and usually it is used in a manner of praise. Those who were good and who preceded us, these are our Salaf. So our Salaf are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and as we heard, and their true followers in a good way. And we ask Allah to consider us, to record us to be among them, as being among of those. So these are our Salaf. And therefore to attribute or to name ourselves after them, to say that we are Salafis, or we try to abide and to carry the Salafi Dawah, that means we are trying to adhere to Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their true followers. So in brief words, instead of saying the whole thing, we say the Salaf, we follow the Salaf. And a question may come, why don't we just call ourselves Muslims? Because that is, as I said earlier, that is what Muslim is supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean, that's what Islam is about. And the answer is yes, that's what Islam is supposed to be. Why then do we need to use other names? Because of the unfortunate fact that Islam through the ages has been contaminated by foreign ideas, by deviant beliefs through the ages, that people who are called Muslims, many of them are very far away from Islam. And enough to mention the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة وستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة وهي الجماعة أو هي التي تكون على ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. He said the Jews have divided into 71 groups or parties, and the Christians divided or split into 72 parties, and this ummah, my ummah, will divide into 73 parties, all of them in the fire except one, which is the jama'ah. And another report he said, except one which is in accordance with what I am upon and my sahaba, my companions. So this hadith clearly shows that of those who claim Islam, later on the majority will not be on Islam. The majority will be deviated from Islam, or the majority in the number of parties, at least, of sects. Not the majority, not necessarily the majority in numbers. So the majority of the beliefs of the different parties who split from Islam will not be in accordance with Islam, will be in contrary to Islam, will make them deservant of those who abide by them, who follow them, deservant of the fire. كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. So Islam was contaminated through the ages. And therefore what is called Islam in our time or previous centuries is not the same Islam that the Prophet ﷺ came with. So the word Islam has been given a different meaning from what it's supposed to be. And therefore we have to qualify it. We have to say, when we say Islam, we have to say, I am a Muslim, the true Islam. And the true Islam is to abide by Allah's book, by His Messenger's Sunnah, and by the guidance of the Salaf, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and their true followers. This is what I mean by saying, I am a Muslim. So instead of saying this whole sentence, I say, I am a Salafi. A Salafi is known in our time, at least to those who adhere to it, and to some of those who don't as well, that this is what it means, that it is to abide by Allah's book, His Messenger's Sunnah, and the guidance of the Sahaba and their true followers radiallahu anhu. So that is briefly the meaning of the Salafi Dawah. It is Islam, as I said, and we have to qualify it by this description by saying it is the Salafi Dawah to distinguish it from the false claims and false parties that split away from Islam, so that I do not have to say I am a Muslim but I am not a Muslim according to, for example, the Ash'ari beliefs, or the Maturidi beliefs, or the Mu'tazila, or the Qadariya, or the Jabriya, or this, or that. Instead of having to negate things from me, I say I am Muslim according to the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which is the true Islam, and no Islam is true except this Islam. The second thing that I said I'll be talking about after defining what is the Salafi Dawah, or the fundamentals of the Salafi Dawah, and this all is I'm going over in a very brief manner, is the problems that face the Salafi Dawah. We see that even among the people who claim that they adhere to the Salafi Dawah, we find that they are in many cases divided. There are differences among them, and these differences sometimes reach the level of enmity and hatred. What's the reason for this? How could that be when this is the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? How could there be a division among them? The answer in brief is that the division is caused by two main reasons. The first reason is ignorance, and the second reason is hawa, following the hawa, the desires. So the reason, the division is caused by one or the other or both of these reasons. When you find division among people who are supposed to be following the true manhaj, the true da'wah. Ignorance is of different forms. Ignorance could be ignorance in the basic meaning of the Salafi da'wah, or the basic fundamentals, like the ones I just described. So somebody may say, I am a Salafi, and he is very far away from the true meaning of the Salafi Dawah. He doesn't understand the fundamentals, or he understands the general outlines, but when it gets to more subtle details, we find that he is not clear about this. Because, example, I said earlier that the Salafi Dawah is to abide by Allah, Allah's book, His Messenger's Sunnah, and the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their true followers. Now you would find a person who says, I am a Salafi, but he has a belief which contradicts a belief, an item of belief, for example, which contradicts with something that the Sahaba and their true followers agreed upon. Such as, for example, which is a common example in our time, the matter of takfir, of ascribing kufr to certain persons or to certain rulers, as is the attitude of some people, some parties in our time. Well known among them is the jihad organization in some countries, some Islamic countries, or Takfir wal-Hijra, or similar organizations. So these people, you find that they claim that they are Salafis, actually. They say, we studied under the great scholars of our time. But they direct their Takfir towards Muslims without a valid basis that the scholars, the true scholars, will approve of. This is something which conflicts with the beliefs of the Salaf, with the beliefs of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their true followers. So this, even though it is not in the basic fundamentals of the Salafi Dawah, but it is in a fundamental of the Salafi Dawah that is maybe a little more subtle than the ones I went over earlier. So when you find people differ on such a matter, you say, how could these Salafis differ when they claim that they all follow the same thing? Because they are not all following the same thing. They think that they are, but actually they are not. Some of them are ignorant about certain aspects and they think that they are following the true manhaj when they are not. So it could be there could be an ignorance. The ignorance could have to do with some of the items. When I say ignorance, it could be an innocent ignorance, which means a person he just did not know it, and if something is clarified to him, he would accept it and he would come back to the truth. And it could be ignorance in the sense that a person is stubbornly following a way other than the correct way, and he believes that this is the right way when it is the right way because of his ignorance and stubbornness. Okay, so it doesn't have to be always an innocent form of ignorance. Okay, so what I said is that ignorance could be ignorance regarding certain fundamentals of the manhaj. It could be ignorance of the certain fiqh issues. Like, for example, a person who is new in the Salafi manhaj, he says, I'm a Salafi, I love to follow the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and so on. And he learns a few things, he reads one or two books or listens to one or two tapes, and he thinks that he has encompassed the whole knowledge. So he goes around and starts correcting people. And by doing that, they think that they find that in many cases he is saying what he's saying is wrong, or it is not, he's not conveying the full picture. He is giving only one point of view, and so on. So they start doubting what he's saying, and this could happen with him, with other people who do not say or claim that they are Salafis, or even among people who are of the same manhaj, of the same Salafi manhaj. And I have seen many examples where a brother listens to a certain tape and takes it for granted that everything in this tape has to be the final truth, and there is no argument beyond it, and therefore based on this he goes and fights with every other brother, every other Salafi brother, and he makes what he heard in that tape as a criterion to be a Salafi or not to be a Salafi. As an example, which may not be the best example, but this is the only thing that comes to my mind now because of its recent occurrence, is the question of what to do when the day of Arafah falls on a Saturday, whether you are permitted to fast or not. We know that many scholars are of the opinion that yes, you can fast. And we know that some of the scholars, particularly in our time, Shaykh Nasruddin Albani Hafizullah, is of the opinion that since the prohibition is general, it should apply to fast on Saturday, as the authentic hadith tells. Therefore, you are not allowed to fast on Saturday if it is the day of Arafah. So some people I have seen make this as a criterion. Some of them believe that you are not supposed to fast, which is the opinion of Shaykh Albani, which is fine, but they make this as a criterion to judge others. You are a Salafi if you do not fast. If you fast, then you are not a Salafi. So it is the limited understanding of the fiqh issues, of certain fiqh issues, and to know the full picture or what the evidence of the other scholars is. And very related to this is another point that I want to mention, which is the manner of conveying the da'wah. Okay? Even if what we are saying is the ultimate truth, it is not always good to go directly about conveying it to others. So you go to somebody and tell him, you are not supposed to fast on Saturday if you are a true Salafi. The Shaykh says so and so, therefore here, I want to see you eat or drink in front of me to believe that you broke your fast. You know, if you do, and this, if it doesn't happen like this in this particular matter, it happens in other situations and other examples. So by this forceful approach, we find that people become repelled from the da'wah, even people who love the da'wah and who say they are Salafis. Sometimes they say, I don't want to be named among the Salafis anymore because of this. These are some examples of the ignorance which causes division among the Salafis, and there could be some other examples. The other thing is the hawa, as I said. The other reason for division is the hawa, desires. Somebody wants to follow something a certain way, or to force his opinion because he feels that he deserves to be more respectful by others. He has more self-esteem for himself. So he wants to force this on others and to let others be convinced, to convince others that he is right and the other party or the other person is wrong. This is very frequent, and this is caused by a weakness in the tarbiyah among many of the Salafis, that their tarbiyah, their upbringing in the manhaj is very weak. So you find that they are not willing to sacrifice anything for Allah's sake. And it is added, what adds to this is that it is very common for the Salafis to become arrogant. It is very common for the Salafis to be arrogant. Why is that? Because we know that this is something conceived and apparent among people, that an average Salafi person is of much better knowledge of Islam than an average other person, other Muslim, another average Muslim. So they have, on the average, much more knowledge. This added knowledge or increased knowledge, higher knowledge, tends to make them arrogant in dealing with other people. And this is a form of power. So we become haughty and arrogant in talking to others, and when we tell them something, we want them to accept it. And if some other person who is a Salafi says something, once we are at a certain level and we are so much convinced with ourselves to a certain point, then we are not willing anymore to accept any other person's word. So you find that when we Salafis start growing in the manhaj, we get to a point where we grow so much that we are almost like balloons. We grow so much and finally we explode. That's unfortunate, but this gets sometimes something close to this point. So and this is because of the hawa, because we let our desires control our manhaj. We forget about the tarbiyah of the manhaj. As I said, I'm just giving examples, and there could be some other problems that lead to the division among the people who claim that they adhere to the Salafi manhaj. So what can we do to solve our problems? What we can do, of course, is to go back to the basics of this manhaj and see what it advises us to do. As was laid down by Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin Albani hafizahullah in our time, that the way to purify our deen and to go back to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba is to maintain or to lay down tasfiyah and tarbiyah in the ummah. And tasfiyah means to clarify the deen. Clarify the deen from authentic hadith, or from unauthentic hadith, or from unauthentic and wrong and weak narrations. So that's tasfiyah. To purify the deen from anything false or wrong that was attached to it through the ages. And then tarbiyah means to bring ourselves and others according to this purified deen. So this is basically what we need to do, and we need to work on this in a very patient and consistent, systematic manner for a long time, without losing hope or losing patience, that inshallah Allah will gradually but surely establish this deen and this da'wah in the hearts of people. So we have to work on tasfiyah and tarbiyah. One thing I once pointed to a person is that why are the Salafis, and this is something actually I heard it, a complaint said about this to Shaykh Albani hafizullah, and he talked about this for almost an hour, the fact that the Salafis unfortunately in many cases do not have the proper tarbiyah, the proper manners that they are that is supposed to follow from the manhaj they carry. This is really very bad, that we are supposed to be carriers of the greatest manhaj of the true Islam, but in some cases we find that we ourselves are the people who are not fulfilling this deen and this manhaj in ourselves. This is dangerous. It reminds of the blame that Allah directed to the Jews. He said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. The example of those who were given the Torah to follow, to carry, but they did not carry it properly, is like a donkey who is carrying precious documents on its back. These documents do not benefit him. And this reminds also of the ayah also directed to the Jews, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Do you command people with righteousness but forget yourselves even though you recite the book? This is the question from Allah that we have to take heed of, and remember that tarbiyah is an important element of our being, of our success. Something I like to point out sometimes is that we should realize that for many people who entered into the Salafi manhaj, they entered into it from other approaches and other ways. For many people, before they became Salafis, they were with the Ikhwan, with Hizb al-Tahrir, with Sufis, with different groups and organizations and parties and so on. So when they came to the Salafi manhaj, they came with a lot of impurities from the old way that they were following, and they were not able to completely rid themselves of these problems. Rather, they imported them with them to this manhaj, to this da'wah. Because this is not the only problem, because as I said earlier, there are other problems. There are problems of arrogance. We get arrogant sometimes about the amount of money that we have, and we think we overestimate it, and we want people to praise us and give us high regard for this knowledge, and so on. So we are in big deficiency in terms of tarbiyah, and we have to work on ourselves. We have to work on our brothers to improve our tarbiyah and our khuluq, our manners. The Salafi da'wah is not just a da'wah of knowledge, of increasing our knowledge. Neither it is a da'wah of how to pray according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ only, or how to fast according to the sunnah, or how to bury the dead according to the sunnah. This is part of it. But the sunnah da'wah is all of Islam, which includes the manners, the khuluq. Our khuluq should be in accordance with the sunnah. And inshallah, I believe I have a lecture about this subject on Saturday. So we need to establish the khuluq of the sunnah in ourselves. And the khuluq of the sunnah, look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was all of his manner, all of his character was in accordance with the Quran. He was the greatest example in manners and character. He was the most humble person with the believers. And he would sit with the children and talk to them and teach them. He would sit with his servants and eat with them. And he would not criticize them for anything that they did that was wrong towards him, like they did not prepare the food in a proper way or did not do this or that. So this is the mannerism of the sunnah that we are lacking. We have to work on establishing it in ourselves, in our brothers, and to remember that no matter how perfect we think we are, there are people who are better than us. We are nothing to compare to the great ulama or to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, or of course to the prophets and to the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to look at ourselves in the proper magnitude. Probably, hopefully this inshallah will give us more humbleness and will enable us to deal with each other, with our brothers, in a better way. We have one of the problems that I referred to briefly earlier, and therefore I'm mentioning the solution here, is that we need to work on clarifying our vision in terms of the Salafi Da'wah. Because as I said, I gave the highlights, the fundamentals for the Salafi Da'wah, but there are details in the Da'wah which have to conform with the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Otherwise we won't be following that Da'wah no matter how much we claim. We have to know these little things, and therefore we need to have a proper education about the Salafi manhaj. We have to study it with each other. We have to have a clear vision, and we have to have this clear vision not controlled with emotions, with people who shout and raise big banners that doesn't make them right. We have to know where the truth is and go with it. As Ali radiallahu anhu said, يا حارث لا تعرف الحق بالرجال أعرف الحق تعرف أهله. Well, حارث, do not make men the indicators of the truth for you. Know the truth and then you will know who are its followers. Not the other way around. So this is in brief what I promised to give as a general background, a brief background to the Salafi Da'wah, its problems and concerns, and what we need to do to solve them, all in a very brief way. Inshallah, I'm hoping that with the questions after the Maghrib prayer, I'll have a chance to clarify some points that I have said them very general right now. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
That was heard from the Shaykh for his advice. We've got about 10 minutes before Maghrib, so for those brothers who need to make wudu, then you have some time to do that, inshallah. As the Shaykh mentioned, we'll entertain questions for about 40 minutes or so after the prayer, inshallah. Is that okay?
Inshallah.
We're happy to mention some of the publications that are available produced by the Quran and Sunnah Society of North America. These include the books Enjoining the Good.
Salamu ala Rasulillah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Before starting to answer the questions, it seems that I'm not sure, but it seems that part of the hadith that I said, I might have not said it in the quoted it correctly, which is, I'll repeat it just in case that I did not, which is the hadith which says
أنا أمانة لأصحابي أنا النجوم أمانة السماء فإذا ذهبت النجوم أتى السماء ما توعد وأنا أمانة لأصحابي فإذا ذهبت أتى أصحابي ما يوعدون وأصحابي أمانة لأمتي فإذا ذهب أصحابي أتى أمتي ما توعد. This is the correct text of the hadith in case I said it differently, which means I am the stars, as we said, for this part are the protection for the skies or for the universe, and the I am a protection for my ashab, and my ashab are protection for the rest of my ummah. That's basically what I want to clarify.
Shall I take the questions now?
Did you record that?
Yeah. Is there any ruling regarding Muslim students? Are they allowed to stand up for student election to get onto the student union if you have any university? You know, like, in order to safeguard things like the prayer room and things like that, and the rights of the Muslim university?
Can we answer questions first related to the talk? Inshallah, we can answer this later. I'll answer it later, but before, so that we can fully cover the subject.
Okay, question from the sisters. What can we say to those who say that the term Salafi is something new and a new invented terminology?
In the sense that the description of Salafi as new, in the sense that it was not used before to describe the correct Islam, this is in general largely true, because there is need for it now. So it is not used as a form of ta'abbud. We do not ask Allah, or we do not approach Allah and expect him to raise our ranks by using the word, by using this specific term, Salafiyya, or by using any other term which distinguishes a Muslim, a practicing Muslim who is following the Quran and the Sunnah of the guidance of the Salaf, whatever is this term. It happened that in this current time, this word's best, or among the best that describe this Salaf, this manhaj, even though we know that other people use other descriptions and they seem to be also distinguishable and are known to be of the exact or very close manhaj, such as Ansar al-Sunnah in our time in Egypt and al-Hadith in India and Pakistan and other countries. In the previous time, we know that Ahlul Hadith was also the term used to describe the people who adhered to the Sunnah and the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And there are many quotations about this by Imam Bukhari and Imam Ahmad and the other Imams praising Ahlul Hadith. So what we are saying is that the word is not used as a qurba to Allah Azza wa Jal by itself for the sake of the word Salafiyya, because this is true that it is not something that we are commanded by Allah to use, but we need to distinguish ourselves, and that's why we use it now. As for the use of the word, whether it was ever used before, it was used before by scholars through the ages, and many scholars have been called Salafis through the ages. It was used as early as at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when he told his daughter Fatima, he said, "I am the best Salaf for you." So the word has been used from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but in the form, in the context that we are using it today, and at a large scale usage, it was not used, and there is need for it now, as I said earlier, to distinguish ourselves from the people of bid'ah and deviation who still claim that they are following the true Islam. Allahumma.
like Islam. There are many people who also claim to be upon the Salafi manhaj, the Dawah. And as you often, very often, we do not have the criteria like the ulama who have the knowledge to differentiate between what is the right Salafi and the wrong Salafi. What is your advice to us youth in this country? How do we stick upon the right Salafi manhaj, seeing that there's a lot of, at the moment, a lot of Dawah that on the outset it may be Salafi, but if you investigate closer, got a lot of
traits which are not kind of right. The question is, next time maybe we should bring it closer to this, but the question is, as I remember it, that there are people now who claim that they are Salafis, but they are not adhering fully to the manhaj. And what is the advice to the new brothers, or to the young brothers and new in the manhaj, and young sisters, of course, so that they can not be influenced by such claims and to know what is the right from what is the wrong? Is this okay? Okay, two things. First, in general, people who are not true Salafis don't like to be called Salafis. They either hate this word and tell openly that they don't like it, and they prefer that you describe them by anything else like Al-Sunnah Al-Jama'ah or any other term, but don't call them Salafis. So that solves part of the problem, that the people who say about themselves, they may say we have a Salafi Aqidah, or they may say we follow the understanding of the Salaf, but they try somehow not to say it in a committed way. Unless they are, sometimes they are arguing with the Salafis and they are trying to show that we are Salafis, you are Salafis, why we differ. Then they use this term, but in the part with the public, to discuss themselves, they will never like to use this term for a large number of people. Now for the people who say about themselves that they are Salafis, but still they have major problems or some problems with their adherence to the manhaj, for these people applies what I was describing earlier in my talk, that they have problem either in their knowledge, they may be ignorant, or in their tarbiyah, they need to be educated and brought up in a proper way to adhere to the manners and character of the manhaj, not only to the knowledge that derives from this manhaj.
My question is not directed to them, but to us, the youth in this country. What is the advice to us? Because very often you say one of the ways.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. As for the youth, well, what they are supposed to do, as I said, in terms of one group, they don't have to worry about trying to prove them or disprove them to be Salafis because they are known not to be, because they themselves don't want to be termed as being Salafis. As for the other, with themselves, when there are differences and they see somebody who say that he follows the Salafi manhaj but he deviates from it in little or much, then they have to first, among themselves, learn the true manhaj and apply it in themselves, convey it to others in the proper way, and then approach those other individuals in a nice way, in a good way, in a friendly way that conforms with the guidelines of enjoining good and forbidding evil, and hope that inshallah they will accept the advice from them, and therefore they reduce the difference that takes place.
How should one Salafi safeguard or behave at the time of fitna of today?
Again, let's see. How should one? I don't know if the sister means the specific fitna or fitnas in general, all types of fitna. Fitan, that is, as a plural. But in either case, a Salafi or a Muslim, what does a Muslim do in the time of fitan? this is addressed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some of his hadith. And briefly, the answer would be to adhere as much as possible to Islam. That's what we do in the face of the fitna. Our only weapon against fitna is to be strong Muslims. It doesn't have to be to be even more weak to be able to face the fitna. So we have to improve our knowledge of Islam and our practice of Islam. And, you know, as we said, the true Islam, which is what we described it earlier to be the Salafi manhaj. So we have to understand this manhaj, the hadith, the famous hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, in which he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the fitan and about what he is supposed to do when such fitan, when such trials take place. He says the people used to ask the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about al-khayr, about what's good, and I used to ask him about shar, makhafata an yudrikani, fearing that it will happen to me. And he asked him about different stages of Islam. He said, we were in Jahiliyyah, we were in misguidance, Allah guided us by you, by sending you, so we are in goodness now. Is there any bad that will come after this goodness? And he said yes. And I asked him about after that evil, is there going to be goodness again? And he said yes, and it has some impurity or some dakhan, and then after that there will be du'at ala azab jahannam and ta'rifu minhum wa tunkir, etc. So he said, what do you advise me, O Messenger of Allah, if this happens to me, in adrakani dhalik, if I live to such times? He said, talzamu jama'at al-muslimina wa imamahum. He said, you adhere to the jama'ah of Muslims and their imam. He said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ جَمَاعَةٌ وَلَا إِمَامٌ. He said, what if they have no jama'ah or imam? He said, تَعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا وَلَوْ أَنْ تَعَضَّ عَلَىٰ أَصْلِ شَجَرَ حَتَّى يُدْرِكَكَ الْمَوْتُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. He said, you stay away from all these parties, even if you have to bite on the stem or root of a tree, until death comes to you while you are alive left. This hadith is a great asul, is a great foundation for what a Muslim is supposed to do in the times of fitna, of turmoils and tests and temptations and so on. The hadith says that you stay with the jama'ah of Muslims and their imam. The jama'ah of Muslims and their imam is the imam, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, or the Khalifa of the Muslims, when there is such a person. So when there is an imam, there is a jama'ah with him who distinguish or indicates who is the jama'ah. So you stay with them. These are the correct jama'ah. He said, what if there is no jama'ah or imam? What if there is no such thing? What do we do? Is this possible? Is it possible that there will be a time when there is no jama'ah or imam? From this hadith, from the answer of the Prophet ﷺ, it seems that this is possible. But from other ahadith and reports, we know that this is not possible. So this hadith is telling about the jama'ah which is clear, which is with the imam, which is with Amir al-Mu'mineen, that it could disappear. And this is true in our time. But there is a jama'ah, the jama'ah will never disappear, the true jama'ah of Muslims throughout the times. The rest of the hadith tells why the Prophet ﷺ told him to stay away from all these parties. He told him because until تَعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا, which means keep away from all these parties because these are parties of division. فِرَق, you use the word فِرَق from فِرْقَ, which means these divisions, these divided people. Stay away from all of them, because when there is no jama'ah or imam, that means that there is division among Muslims. So stay away from any causes of division. Don't be part of any division. So don't be part of this organization which calls to partyism, or that organization which calls to tribalism, or this group or that group. Be by yourself. Does it mean be by yourself means go and live in the middle of the desert, have a tent, or in the top of a mountain? No, the Prophet is telling him to be away from this partyism, from being part of this hizbiyah. Don't be part of any hizb, even if this would lead you to be all by yourself. But the jama'ah is ongoing through the times, as the Prophet said, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ نَنْصُرًا. There will always be a group of people of my ummah who are protected and given victory upon the truth through the times. This will never disappear until the time of Isa, as the Prophet said. So the jama'ah will continue through the times. And the jama'ah started by the jama'ah of the Prophet and his sahaba, the best generation, and then the next best generation, and then the next best generation, and then it continues through the times. It never disappears. So there is always a jama'ah, and this jama'ah cannot be but an extension of the first jama'ah. So we cannot have say now we are going to form a jama'ah, and this jama'ah we have agreed in our constitution and our study and research that it has to differ from the sahaba. This cannot be. We cannot have a jama'ah like that. A jama'ah has to conform with the first jama'ah, and this jama'ah continued through the ages, as we said earlier, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And those who follow them in a good way, in a perfect way, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with them. So this jama'ah is always existing to the end of time. We can't part of it if we know where it is. So it could be 1, 2, 3, 10 in one place. They could be dispersed all over the world, but we have to be with them, if not in person, at least in our actions. So we have to know their ways and to adhere to their ways, to the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If we do that, we are with the jama'ah, we are with the jama'ah, with the jama'ah, which there can be no more than this one jama'ah in this sense, in this definition, and it is the jama'ah of the Sahaba. As for other people who call to division and to firqa, then stay away from all of them. So therefore the answer to the sister's question is that in the time of fitna, learn what is the truth, know what is the way of the true jama'ah, the jama'ah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the true followers, and this is the jama'ah that staying with it will save you. Because as the Prophet said, يَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجَمَاعَةِ وَإِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الزِّئْبُ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ الْقَاصِيَةِ. Allah's hand is over the jama'ah, and the wolf only eats from the straying sheep. Allahu Akbar. The question here, are we allowed to label people individually and say that such and such is not a Salafi, but rather is such and such? Or is this solely reserved for the scholars or people of knowledge? Yeah, I would say that the latter is the correct statement, that such things are to be left to the scholars and people of knowledge, because otherwise everybody would start labeling everybody else, and we will not know anymore whom to accept his word and whom to reject, and whom to like and whom to dislike. And this will lead to more fitna among the Muslims. So we cannot definitely, we should not make our mission to start labeling these as this being Salafi and this not being Salafi. All what we have to be concerned about is to understand what the Salafi manhaj is. As I said earlier, in the beginning end of my talk, the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Ali, la ta'rif al-haqqa bil-rijal, ta'rif al-haqqa ta'rif ahla. He said, Ya Harith, do not know the truth by people, if this person, whatever this person is doing, then this is the truth. No, don't do it like that. Ta'rif al-haqqa ta'rif ahla. Know the truth, then you'll know who are its people. So what we need to do is to educate ourselves about the manhaj. If we are well versed in the manhaj, then we would not be in any danger, because when somebody says something, even if he is the greatest Salafi scholar, if he says something, and nobody is infallible, no human being is infallible after the Prophet ﷺ. So when a person, no matter how great he is, says a statement, then we will be able to judge that this agrees with what I learned from the manhaj, or this agrees, so I go to him and ask him and discuss with him, or ask somebody else and he can inform me if I misunderstood or understood or the likes. But we have to establish the manhaj, the knowledge in ourselves. And instead of making it like many people do now, the first thing they do is they say that now I am a Salafi, alhamdulillah, without even knowing what the Salafi manhaj means. The second thing they do is start saying this is a Salafi and that's not a Salafi. There was an article, somebody asked me about this on the internet a few days ago, I think, and I sent the answer briefly. There was an article about Salafiyya, that was the Salafi Dawah, that was supposed to be published in the Huda paper a while ago, and we refused to publish it unless we make major cuts in it. And the brother decided not to publish it, and now somebody told me that it is being transferred from one person to the other somewhere here in this country maybe. This article says that this and this and this and this and this persons are Salafis, and this and this and this, maybe it says no, they are not, I'm not sure, but at least it chooses a certain group of people and says these are Salafis. So if you want to know the Salafi manhaj, know these people. This is not the way to establish the Salafi manhaj. And I know when the brother wrote this, he was not fully in full understanding of the Salafi manhaj. This is not the way to go about learning and practicing Islam. We have to have the knowledge, and then, as I said, with this knowledge inshallah, and with practicing the knowledge, not the knowledge for the mere of knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jal will give us the light, the guidance that will enable us to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong.
Continuation.
But what if we follow the stance of a scholar in labeling? What if we follow the stance of scholar in labeling? Okay, now this could be at least two different possibilities. Either the first one is that a scholar knows that a certain person who is claiming to be a Salafi, for example, who's calling to the Salafi manhaj, he is misguiding people actually, or he could be misguiding people. So he needs to warn people about him. It is his responsibility to warn others about this person. And if we trust this scholar, like when we trust the scholars in any other fatwa, then we go by his fatwa. If we do not if we mistrust him, then we do not take the fatwa. Or if we in this particular issue feel that he did not have the full information to make a judgment, and that, or that he was misinformed, then again we go by that. We say that we cannot follow him because I believe he was misinformed. That's one situation, that the scholar is a person that we respect, we believe that he has the knowledge, and then his responsibility is to warn us about the people who might be misleading us. The other possibility is that he doesn't know about what we do not trust him to be a person who knows what he's talking about, and he's a scholar whose statements, even though we might respect him otherwise, but whose statements are a source of fitna among the Muslims. In that case, we do not have to follow his stance either. So it's a matter of trust, trusting the knowledge and judgment of the scholar, and his warning and his muslah, his advice to the ummah, and therefore we either go by that or not. No. 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 The question is, these 73 groups, the 72 groups who will be doomed, and the Prophet ﷺ says that they will be all in the hellfire, except one who is the Jama'ah, or who are the ones who follow my guidance and that of my Sahaba. Are they entering the Jannah? Do they enter the Jannah, abide in it permanently? Jahannam, sorry. The 72 groups, do they abide permanently in the hellfire, in the Jahannam, or do they enter it and then get out of it? We cannot give a general, Allahu A'lam, we cannot give a general rule to every individual who is a follower of these groups. Some individuals, well, let's think of any, have in our mind any particular group of these. The people who are in this group are of different levels. Some of them are the da'iyah, the people who establish this group and who call to it and who believe fully in it and what they are calling to, and they know that this is in contrary with the commands of Islam. These are definitely disbelievers, and they will permanently be in the hellfire. There are people who are their followers. They know, they had a feeling that they may be wrong, or their understanding, they did not try to go to the truth. The truth was shown to them and they abstained from it, but they have the basics, the basic belief of an iman in their hearts. These, it's up to Allah, of course, as in any other matter, but their affair is with Allah, whether to punish them or to forgive them, but eventually they would enter the Jannah. And then there are groups who are totally ignorant. That's how they were raised, and they think that they are doing right. Like some people, for example, who go to a certain barih, to the grave of a dead wali, or something like that, as they call it. And they offer something there. They give a gift, like they slaughter something, or for the sake of, they are hoping that this will save one of their children who is ill or something, or the other. So these people, in some cases, from discussing with them, from talking to them, we find that they just do it, they don't believe that this person who is in the grave can benefit them. They believe that Allah is the one who benefits. But they think that this is a way to please him, because everybody in that country, in their country, do it. So they think that it's acceptable to do it, or maybe it is even a way of, a useful way of doing it. So it's like taking a prescription from a doctor without knowing what it is in it. There could be poison or something and they are not sure. When you explain to them the truth, some of them will accept it. So for these people, Allahu A'lam, but we cannot say that they are disbelievers in this particular example that I gave, even though they are doing an act of shirk, of disbelief. And similarly for the people, the followers of the 72 groups, we cannot say that every one of them is similar to every other one. And that is in general about the 72 groups. There are some of these groups who are whose deviation is so extreme that we cannot consider them anymore as being Muslims, like the Qadianis, for example. And in this case, it is, again, the judgment is with Allah. We say that they are kuffar, and the kuffar would be in the hellfire. Now, whether each and every individual one of them has received the full hujjah, to the evidence to either accept Islam or reject it, that's with Allah. Allah knows about it. It's just like any other non-Muslim, a Christian or a Jew or anyone else. So we cannot say that for sure they will be abiding in the hellfire, but we say that the kuffar will be in the hellfire. Those who did not receive the Rasul, وَمَا كُنَّ مَعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal will test them on the Day of Judgment, and those who
deserve to enter the Jannah or enter the Jannah, otherwise they will abide in the hellfire. But the general rule of thumb is that the kuffar will be in the hellfire. So as I said, the question is needs detail, and probably I did not fulfill the answer in the fulfill the required detail for it, but that probably gives you an idea that you cannot give a general answer to every one of these groups. You cannot say, for example, every Mu'tazili will be in the hellfire. Everyone who denies every Murji is in the hellfire, because we know that the Irja is a belief, is a disbelief, is an act of disbelief for a person whom you establish the evidence against him, and still he insists that no matter how much he disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will let him into the Jannah and will forgive him, or things like that. So this person may be ignorantly or knowingly disobeying Allah and rejecting all the texts of warnings and in the Quran. So as I said, we cannot make a general rule in this regard. Maybe Sheikh Suhaib can add these few words on this in this regard, because I think this.
إذا كانت البدعة لا أنقذ إذا كانت البدعة مفضية إلى الشرك فهذا تبصر، لكن البدعة غير الشرك فلا يخلد.
نعم. Yeah, that's true. That's true. The follower is not like the person who initiates the bid'ah. And the followers vary. Some of them are like him, some of them are totally ignorant, as I said. So they need to be enlightened, or Allah Azza wa Jal knows what is in their hearts. Yeah. Okay, this is this is a good question. It would require probably a lot of detail. I'll try to answer it in a couple of minutes. That again will not fulfill the right of this question, but we are limited with time, as you know. The question is, I mentioned Hizbiyya and partyism, tribalism, things like that. What is the definition of Hizbiyya, and is it, can we say that when the Salafis get together and they form a group, that they are becoming a Hizb, and therefore this is wrong? When we talk about Hizbiyya, we mean that when people get together making their wala and bara on something other than the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a Muslim is supposed to love another Muslim, another person, in as much as that person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to hate him in as much as that person is disobedient to Allah. So this is the basic or the most simplest way to put al-wala wal-bara. أَن يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And the ayat of, for example, Surah Al-Mumtahina, which tell us about that the obligation not to give our alliance to the non-Muslims. So this is the basic meaning that of all these ayat, that our love should be to a person in as much as this person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because this person is part, has a membership in my organization, or he has a membership in my party, in my hizb, in my group, or
or he is from my country, or from my tribe, or he is my relative. This is not the ma'yar, the weighing factor that decides whom I love and whom I do not love. What decides whom I love the most or the least is their obedience and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه لله. If this differs, then hizbiyya is there. And we find in many of the groups in our time, they love a person and they put him forward ahead of people who are Salafis or other people who are from other organizations just because of that he is member of their organization. And they have, of course, this comes with it, different things which are symptoms of hizbiyya, like that they have a secret bay'ah, they have a certain rigid structure, like a structure of punishment where if the person does something he is expelled and so on. These inshallah will be explained in depth in the book by Sheikh Tareem Hidari, Jamaat Islamiyah. Some of you probably have seen the first edition of this, and the second edition is ready to be published, inshallah, will be published by the Quran and Sunnah Society. It's about at least double the size of the original book. So it'll explain this in Arabic, unfortunately, until it is translated in a good way. But this is what we are talking about hizbiyya. Now, for the Salafis, if the Salafis get together and their wala and bara becomes the same way based on whether you are part of my organization or not. For example, I have a Quran Sunnah Society. Anybody who is a member of Quran Sunnah Society, he has the highest preference of my love and respect and so on. And anybody who is not, then he does not deserve that thing. Then this is hizbiyya. So if the Salafis get to this point, they are doing hizbiyya. If they get together and protect each other and they love each other because they are individuals who are trying their best to adhere to Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger and the guidance of the Salaf, they support each other for this cause and they protect each other from the other people who are trying to attack them, then this is not hizbiyya. This is defending Islam, because they are trying to perform and practice the true Islam, and they are basing their wala and bara on that, on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you find that the people, the enemies of the Salafi da'wah, who are the true practicers of hizbiyya, when the Salafis start to be protective of the Salafi da'wah and of each other, they immediately say, look, you are hizbiyya. Subhanallah. I mean, it doesn't mean that we should not be careful and watch out for symptoms of hizbiyya in ourselves. We have to be careful about this, because it is indeed an illness that could get into us without noticing it. But at the same time, that should not mean that we remain like a very loosely connected body. I don't care about my Salafi brother, he doesn't care about me, because we do not want to be hizbis. No, we have to love each other, we have to support each other, we have to work in an organized way, we have to work as a jama'ah, otherwise our work will not be successful and fruitful. So work together in an organized way, but not in a hizbi way. A similar question to this has been answered in the latest article of Al-Ibana number 3 magazine by Ibn Baz and Al-Athini. And Al-Albani, okay. Exactly, okay. That's good. We haven't seen it yet, so. Difference between Manhaj and Aqidah. The word Manhaj from Nahaja, and Nahaja means to take away. So manhaj means a way, like the sunnah. And aqidah is a belief. And the manhaj is supposed to conform with your belief. So if you take a certain way, supposedly you believe that this is the right way to save you. So basically the manhaj and the aqidah are interrelated. And what some people claim sometimes, they say, a person, such and such person has a Salafi, or some people say about themselves, we have Salafi aqidah, but we do not follow the Salafi manhaj. That means that they do not have the Salafi aqidah. Because if a person has the Salafi aqidah, he should have the Salafi manhaj. And if a person has the Salafi manhaj, he must have the Salafi aqidah. They are interrelated, they are not the same thing, but they are interrelated. One of them is equivalent to the other, or the manhaj should follow from the aqidah, and the aqidah is the basis for the manhaj.
Assalamu alaikum. I want to ask about I have an opinion which I can see opposite to the opinion about calling certain terms like Salafiyya. My opinion is why do we have to introduce certain new terms, and as you mentioned before, there is a different groups which might be righteous groups and have different names. This will increase actually the problem of sects in Islam. As we know, the Prophet Abraham, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be on him, has called us Muslims first. He has chosen the word Muslim to differentiate Muslims from any other group. So why we don't stick to the word Muslim?
Okay.
And use it for and purify the word Muslim from any. I mean, if we apply Islam righteously, and we were examples for all Muslims. The word is itself, the word Islam will put us will show us as righteous.
Yeah, I think I answered this early on, but I'll explain a little further that the word Islam, not only Ibrahim alayhi salam, even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَدْعُوا بِدَعْوَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي سَمَّاكُمْ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, which means call yourselves by the name that Allah gave you, Muslimin, Mu'mineen, Ibadullah. So we have to call ourselves by these names. But we are using the Salafiyya, for example, as a description, as a qualification of this name, that I am a Muslim, but I am not any common Muslim that you think, because Muslims have deviated so much from the true Islam in our time. I am a Muslim who is following Islam according to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the guidance of the Salaf radiallahu anhum. So to summarize this, I say I am a Muslim according to the Salafi manhaj, or I am a Muslim who abides by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I do not reject the hadith for the opinion of such and such a scholar and such and such scholar if it disagrees with the hadith. So I am of Ahlul Hadith, or I am a person who loves the Sunnah and people are rejecting the Sunnah. I consider myself of the Ansar Sunnah. I am a Muslim who is supporting the Sunnah, and so on. So these qualifications in our time or in previous times are meant to distinguish what we are on from what the has unfortunately infiltrated into Islam of the wrong beliefs and practices. And there are two things here. First, this does not lead, for example, to additional sects, except in the minds of the people who are ignorant, and this has to be continuously clarified to them. But among the people, for example, the Salafis or Al-Hadith or Ansar Sunnah, to them, to each other, they are the same. So they have the common grounds and the common, the strong ties with each other, because they know that they are all working to establish the same Islam, which is the true Islam on earth. The other thing is in terms of Asabiyya or adding to the sect, if, and this is what I have been warning about, if the Salafis or any other group who is trying to establish the Sunnah in the correct way, if they become Hizbiyin in the sense that I just described earlier, then that is when the problem arises, and that is why we need to keep warning people about such a possibility. But we definitely need to distinguish ourselves among ourselves and in the minds of other people that we are not like any other Muslims, any other common Muslims. We are Muslims who are trying to adhere to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people use also in our time the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but as we know, that this term has become, unfortunately, has become mafat, which means elastic, right? Elastic. So, many people come under it, including the Ash'ariyya. They call themselves Al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah, the Habashis of our time, they call themselves Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And other people who are very far away from the Sunnah, they call themselves Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So because of that, this term has lost what its true meaning is supposed to be. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who adhere to the Sunnah, and to, who adhere to the Jama'ah, which is the first Jama'ah that I mentioned. If a person applies the meaning of this word properly, that is the Salafiyyah that we are seeking. And that's what the Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in the beginning of his book Aqidah al-Watifiyyah, when he was talking about the belief that the Muslim is supposed to see, to have. He said, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَهَذَا اَعْتِقَادُ الْفِرْقَةِ النَّاجِيَةِ الْمَنْصُورَةِ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. He said, and what followed is that this is the belief of the saved and victorious group who are Ahl, the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah. And then he listed what are the beliefs that are, they are supposed to carry. So yeah, it is. I agree in the sense that people in our time misunderstand sometimes or misinterpret what is the Salafiyyah, whether it is a new sect or a new regime or a new party or things like that. These people need to be enlightened, and we need to continue to explain to them what it is. And the other thing is, we need not to be shy about this description, because it is a description of praise. It is a description which is saying to us and to others that inshallah we are trying our best to adhere to the book of Allah and the Sunnah and his messenger in accordance with the guidance of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and their true followers. Is it true that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam differentiated between certain Muslims by saying that some are Khawarij or Qadariya? I'm not sure about the Qadariya now, but I know about the Khawarij. He pointed to that they will be coming very soon after him. That is when a person, when the Prophet ﷺ divided the spoils of a battle, and I believe it was the Battle of Hunayn, a man objected and he said, هذه قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله. He said, this is a division that the face of Allah was not sought by it. So this is his statement is a statement of disbelief, because he is throwing doubts about the justice of the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore he is saying that the Prophet ﷺ is doing things out of his hawa. So he's rejecting the whole message of the Prophet ﷺ. When he said this, the Prophet ﷺ was very angry. Why? Because for his own sake, he was never angry for his own sake, but he was angry because this, what he said, is an attack on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he became very angry to the extent that